I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's a song request Thursday here on Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Today's theme, songs that remind you about the Lone Star State in honor of the Rangers and Astros going head-to-head starting tomorrow. You can hear that game, you'll join it in progress on 100.7 The Score after Lubbock Cooper Baseball. Should be around 8:30 when you join that game. And you'll have multiple chances to hear throughout the series with, of course, it being a four-game set. But give us your Lone Star State songs on the Yates Florence Center chat line. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown behind the glass taking care of us and pumping out the tunes today. In 15 minutes, we'll take you back in time and tell you all the happenings of today's date, birthdays, events, all that good stuff. Gus always brings the heat. All right, so Devin Cambridge does come back, doesn't put his name in the portal, and you saw this today, and your first thought was?
Much ado about nothing. well, I mean, just because we all reacted to it and, you know, sort of prisoner of the moment kind of stuff, and we all get antsy and go look in the mirror and do what the texter did earlier. They're like, am I not pretty? You know, what's what's wrong? And and then we also develop seven theories on, I didn't get enough money, and he doesn't like so-and-so doesn't like him, who broke up with who, you know, I mean, we all do it. And then you come back
we had a good 15 minute speculation.
Oh, there, yeah.
Just going through the different things of what it could be, right?
Let's fill a segment. It's theory time, you know.
Three-hour show, Gus.
Absolutely it is. Not to tell me. 15 hours a week. But what would have been a little surprising about him was that, and we talked about this yesterday, was the idea that he's, you know, that he had said back in January that he wanted to come back and basically at that point it was less of a Texas Tech question and more of a I want to take my medical red shirt question. That's what that had to do with. But still, you know, you're probably thinking, well, there's some unfulfilled time here that he only got to play in whatever it was, 9-10 games. And then
I think it was 8
over.
Games?
Yeah. And then it was over and – you know, with an injury, and like it didn't, you know, it didn't play out enough to think, dang. And it's not like, well, in his time here, he was only getting 3 minutes anyway, and the writing's on the wall. It just, you know, there's none of that. And so that was what was a little surprising about that for the 12, 18 hours. It was part of the conversation. But,
dude, welcome to the portal. Like, that's a
great
whirlwind example. And believe me, I saw. From the things we're talking about, the like trying to figure out, hey, you know, I wonder why he left. Is this an NIL thing? All the way to like, I hope you burn for leaving Texas Tech, stuff like that. I'm not knocking any of it. That's part of being a fan.
It's where we are, right?
But you know, I also get the side of if you get any wind of someone's leaving. Maybe not animosity, but okay, I'm either going to just completely forget about you immediately because whoever's here is who, you know, you'll root for. It's the rooting for the logo mentality. Totally get all of that, but the 18 hours that you just talked about, saw a lot of stuff fly through the old.
Oh yeah, I mean, I wonder how many times it's like, hey,
a lot of responses, if you will.
Hey, coach, I'm gonna put this out there. You and I are good. I'm going to put this out there just to have a little fun with it. All right, so don't panic, and then you just sit around and wait for the bombs to fly. You know, just what you're talking about.
I also think
just to watch it run the gamut of emotion, to sit back and chuckle about it. But the other thing is that he's very much still in a rehab phase, and so you know, were he to go fully into the portal, I mean, there's somebody out there, just as there would be somebody out there that would take a chance on a high-end arm that was coming off of Tommy John. You're betting on he's going to be one of the 70% that's just fine, and it'll be a quick rehab, and, you know, but he may not be top dollar.
We think you
can
be what you were at the start of last year, or what you were at Arizona State.
But it may not be top dollar.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that was – that's probably the real thing. It's like, man, dude, if he were to jump and really cut ties, you know, it's betting, because part of that conversation is going to be, you're probably not going to be ready till, you know, maybe conference play. And then this comes back to something you and I have talked about a bunch. Me and AD talked about a bunch. Just because he's back doesn't mean he's, like, not rusty and, you know, like, now you get to guard somebody and go bang around and, you know,
and figure out if you trust that knee yet. That you're going to have the same level that he left you at. I also think, like, and I'm not trying to ignore this aspect of it, because I know what goes on at this point with the almost entering the portal too. And I'm not saying this happened, but if you're listing down all of the options that this could have been, on the end that I like the least but happens in college basketball now, is it also very real possibility it could have been, hey, you know, if I don't get a little more compensation, I think I'm going to go in the portal sort of thing. And then that all of a sudden gets leaked out. News is so-and-so is headed for the portal, but hasn't entered his name yet. And all of a sudden they're back. We've seen too much of this out in the open, and you can take Miami as an example, where last year I feel like all of their players were – they were the most – you knew what was going on in the college basketball free agency of anybody. I mean, Nigel Pack throwing out crazy numbers and stuff like that. You had the kid who was going to leave if he didn't get so-and-so number matched, and he stayed, which, by the way, they did not have a great year this year, which was very surprising. What I'm getting at is there's so many different things that this could be of, hey, almost in the portal to back.
Mm-hmm.
The underlying thing, though, is, I mean, it's an obvious plus to have him back and what he does bring to the table. And like you said, the expectation that he will be the Devin Cambridge that transferred in and that you just saw an itty-bitty glimpse of last year, because obviously you didn't get to see it develop throughout the season. You didn't get to see it in Big 12 play. But I also think that now, you know, regardless of what you do roster-wise, and by that I mean who you bring in, I thought something that was really smart was you brought in a lot of guys who had made a tournament before. And Cambridge was one of those. And now guys that stay, like your Waltons, again, anything could happen, but as of right now, like your Waltons, your Darian Williams, those guys can say that too because you made the tournament this year. But it doesn't hurt to have that extra year guy like Cambridge. Plus what he does skill-wise for you on the court. But you do have some questions. Hey, will he be that same guy? What does that injury do to a player?
Sure.
But that's
kind of
few and far between.
And he sort of fits that positionless model that everybody 100%. Likes these days as well. And so it's I would think he'll be an asset when he comes back. But, you know, a lot of that depends on, you know, if he immediately trusts his knee and just, you know, all the things that come with a rehab like that.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. It's time to take a little trip, guys. When we come back, we'll hit up the time machine when we return.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown behind the glass taking care of us. An hour, 45 minutes more with us as we take you up to 5:45. We'll be just shy of 3 hours today. NIT Championship on after us here on Double T97.3, Indiana State and Seton Hall. And, you know, sometimes I think I have gotten the label of someone who looks down upon the NIT. I just typically don't pay attention to it, but this is legitimately going to be a really good basketball game tonight. So if you are looking for some good basketball on a Thursday, as college basketball timers is just ticking away rapidly before it's gone until next season. Should be a good game tonight. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973, or you can hit us up on the H Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions. Also get us your songs about the Lone Star State for Song Request Thursday. Take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and the Gram. Just going through, because the USC infield to SMU move was already interesting.
Yeah.
Infield had been there like 10 seasons, some double-digit number there at USC, and has had some highs this year. Had a losing record, but, you know, did some nice things off the court. And whether you like him or hate him, I think getting Bronny James was a big deal just for the coverage side of that university. When you also add in that he's had some success. So him going over to SMU was interesting. I wonder if that was a mutual separation for whatever reason, though, between infield and USC. I don't really know.
No, I wonder if I've wondered about that, too, if that's a, you know, the Tommy Tuberville situation, like, hey, I'm not going to be here much longer anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and find a landing place. I just don't know.
Or if, like, this year's record was enough to be like, hey, all of a sudden it's stale here.
Sure.
And, I mean, they didn't make deep tournament runs or anything like that, but they were winning 20 or more games and had some tournament appearances. But then you have the Musselman news today. And I think that, you know, that opens up a very interesting job with Arkansas because that's a place that has had some success. I think, speaking of going stale, I think there's been some frustration with them rapidly this year, which is crazy because they've had deep runs
sure
recently with Arkansas and have had good recruiting with Musselman. But I think this year there was some tension because they didn't have the season they wanted. But you mentioned, of course, Chris Beard. Other names being thrown out right now, flying around, I should say. How about a Will Wade, who famously got in trouble at LSU and has already turned McNeese State around? That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How about this name, Gus? One Jerome Tang.
That wouldn't surprise me one bit, dude. You and I had that conversation about him when last, I don't know, right on the cusp of the season, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember throwing it out like, hey, what if, and it really, I think the context of it was, I think you jumped in. It was me and AD. That's how far back the conversation goes. But, you know, we, and then you and I revisited it because their season was a bit of a disappointment. And I think we revisited it probably, I don't know, early February, late January, whatever. But the idea that, when Dickens and I talked about it, it was more of a, hey, what if it's another disappointing season at Kentucky? And it was. And they move on from him. They didn't because the buyout's at $30 million or whatever. Good luck with that. And but, you know, that Tang would be somebody that's really sought after, and I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm sure folks in the industry would go, hey, McCaslin's pretty settled there. It's a place that he, you know, was at the very beginning. But I bet people have asked about him because he was that good as a first year coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think like you see a similar situation. Now you don't make as good of a tournament run. I understand that, but I mean, that's what happened with Tang year one. You know, people were asking about him. Hey, what's his interest level of leaving? Well,
and then this year, the weird deal with the losing the player at semester and just some of that funkiness that they thought, does his act run thin real quick or does it, you know, who knows? Or is there real tension in the between him and his brass? We don't know, but just the. You know, the thought of him being a guy that would be sought after in a hurry is, you know, if the rumor you read has real teeth and
right.
He's on
this
the
is
way
just
to fit,
again
Bill.
Names being thrown around from multiple places. It's not to say anything definitive, but at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if it's either of those three names. And it's like at this point in the hiring process, a lot of positions have been filled by like, you know, the Pat Kelseys of the world going to Louisville, or Dusty May going to Michigan, those kind of mid-major type coaches. It doesn't seem, as of now, there's anyone assistant-wise that has just been thrown out like, hey, you know, so-and-so, he's been with Musselman all 5 years there at Arkansas. Look for him, too, for them just to go ahead and say, give him the reins. I go back to the Tang side, because you're right, when we had that discussion, that was before Christmas.
Yeah.
And what you pointed to was a big thing to me. One, I do think, you know, as much as, you know, my other fandom, I like to make fun of him and call out the cheesiness, sure, and sometimes cringiness. But that's not to say I don't think he's a good coach, because I do think he's shown, sure, that in year two. And it was a disappointing season this year. But he had some things, I think, that didn't go his way as a coach, like the Naquan Tomlin situation. And they still made a push there at the end and knocked on the door of making the tournament and made it a lot closer than I thought it would be. But I go back to that Tomlin situation you're talking about, where, man, it felt like there was serious tension between the president and then the athletic director,
right,
and Jerome Tang, and there were some decisions on that roster that I don't think were Tang's decision to make, which would be incredibly frustrating. And you would think, as a coach that should view yourself as talented, if you are talented and have shown that to me in two seasons, and at this point, I guess, a season and a half, to go, maybe I go to a situation where resources are better and also I don't have this sort of situation. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Did not get to see Bowling for Soup when they were here at Raider Alley, but I assume they played Come Back to Texas. They had to have played Come Back to Texas, right?
So, gosh.
Oh, man, that was a jam for me back in the day. Come Back to Texas. It's just not the same since you went away. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyla Brown. You can give us your request for songs about the Lone Star State, your theme today for Song Request Thursday. Or you can hit us up about anything on the H Flooring Center chat line. Anything you want to at all. We got this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line question for us. Are we feeling good about the quarterback situation?
Yeah, I mean, as good as we can. I'm not gonna be jumping off a building anytime soon. I think there's still some lingering issues from that AC sprain, but I don't. The key thing that needs is rest, and so he gets a couple weeks at camp, and you know, they shut him down here, and he'll probably get a couple more months, 2 to 3 months, of rest on that AC, and the acromioclavicular, I believe, is the
bless you
AC. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Acromioclavicular.
Yeah, I believe so. The joint of the
sounds like you're casting a spell over there.
Clavicle, I believe so. I think so. Well, I think he. But anyway, it's a concern, but I'm not. I mean, the best thing that can come out of spring ball is some clarity on depth chart in the quarterback room, and that doesn't have to be resolved this week.
And a defined solid offensive line.
Sure. Well, really just talking about the QB, sure, position, but yeah, it's way more important that those young dudes get reps and sort themselves out rather than. Maybe more reps for Morton, but if this is going on in August, then it's more of a concern. But also, Coach McGuire saying he's going to be able to, you know, if they play tomorrow, he'd play. And so I'm not. I think it's just being cautious, and you know, it's all good. Let's put this in the context of the moment of the day of our conversation 30 minutes ago. You know, there's another portal period coming up. Mm-hmm. What if one of the two young quarterbacks that's going at it is, you know, says, hey, I don't want to be the third string quarterback here. I'm not even really, really dumping Cameron. Help me.
Brown.
Brown, yeah. Cameron Brown in that conversation, because I think the way he's going to be used is sort of set aside over here from QB depth chart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They could list him second or they could list him fourth. I think he's still going to do
He's going to see the field
yes.
in those other ways, regard whether that is a quarterback right. package, used as an athlete,
some
used
punt return, teams. Some
yes.
kick return.
They yes. have talked about him so much. I mean, I'd be shocked. I'm not saying he's going to be like 50% of the offensive snaps you found him on the field or anything like that, but that dude's going to see the field. At least that's what it seems right. like right now.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So his place on that QB depth chart isn't really what we're talking about. Because if Morton were to be injured and not play, I don't think Cameron Brown's the starter. Mm-hmm. I think Cameron Brown's usage is probably, you know, maybe it goes up a little bit, but it's still going to be, hey, third and two. Up, here comes number. Mm-hmm. What number is Cameron Brown? Just guess. What number will Cameron Brown be?
Five?
Have you looked? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay. Wow, so you're taking Crabtree's number and giving it to
yeah.
the old,
I like it. Is it a single-digit number?
I don't know.
I feel like it's a single-digit number.
I truly have no idea.
I'm going to look it up.
We could have fun with the number before we really know.
Hold on. I need my research music.
Well, we had some film music.
Close. This will work. This will work. You know what?
Right.
You know.
Close. Better than nothing.
Better than nothing. Yeah, I don't know why I said it. That was.
We can go in there and go play with the hotkeys.
Help we'll
the young fella out.
We'll
absolutely. Who's training?
Seven.
Him, is it
He's
you?
Down at seven.
Oh,
I knew it was a single right. digit.
Okay.
I don't know why. Yeah, not Crab's number. That's why I said it with a question mark.
Okay.
There you go. Mystery solved. Do you feel better now?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. And was that Donovan's number? Is he number seven?
Also, Brandon Jordan as a number seven as well. By the way, on the defensive
no,
side,
no, that's the problem.
But yeah, no, I'm with you because
back in my day, you didn't have two number sevens; you just had one.
you need to get that really taken care of because it's not just it's not just you here between Brown, Strong, Hammond, whoever that ends up being. My guess would be I'm taking the freshman here just because we've seen Strong last year, and I hope he took strides. But, I mean, he was certainly the third place on that depth chart locked down there for a reason from what we saw. And you would like to think the experience he did get helped him in some ways. But I think, this is – part of the reason of why you're so excited about the ceiling for whatever Will Hammond's ceiling ends up being. But you need to have that established and get those guys as many looks as they can. So here's your silver lining. But I'm not, and again, I said this yesterday, if you are in the concerned area, I get it. And I would honestly, Gus, I'd venture to guess more people are in that than aren't.
Oh, sure.
And I get it, but just waiting until you see him in the summer and where that shoulder is before I drift over into concern. And like I said, drift is probably a poor word because if it is, you're still seeing, he can go and you're hearing the same things, but he's really at 80%. I might go from drift over to concern all the way to I'm hovering over the panic button because I'm concerned if he takes a hit or something like that, just like everybody would be. But if you're already in that boat, again, I think more people are than aren't that I've heard from. I'm not there yet. It's more of, to me, if this is what it'll take to get him healthy, then yeah, you don't really, he's your starter and you know what he can do.
Right.
And it seems like what they did see in the spring, not that it was like quarterback competition angle or anything like that, but they were pleased with some of the progress he's made, not just with the injury, but just developing as still a young quarterback.
Sure. And a guy who probably hadn't taken a ton of just healthy reps at Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm. On the other side, I could see the argument need to start developing that, connection as much as you can with Hudson and with Jalen Conyers. Well, both of those guys are also out this spring. you know.
Oh,
so.
Sure. Yeah. That's, but that, that, and I would think the timing side of that's going to be way more important in summer and especially in August than them getting to work together. But yeah, that, I mean, there's still plenty of time to gain that ground, but mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I'm concerned, but I'm fine with it. I'm fine with the
Would it be more fair to say I'm more just like feeling alert? I feel like a prairie dog right now.
Yes, that's fine.
Scanning for eagles.
It's a tricky injury. Yeah.
We just blew through the play of the day. I'm sorry. We'll do that on the other side. It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Give us your song requests. Today's theme songs about the Lone Star State in honor of this weekend's four-game set between the Rangers and Astros. We get to get a look at this rivalry up close, Gus. I'm very excited to see the tension between the two. If they have picked off where they left off last year. A lot built up into that. We'll see what happens. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown. It is Tech Talk here on Double T97.3. We got this on the chat line. Bowling for Soup is going to be in Clovis later this month with Gin Blossoms. Well, that's a...
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a
nice.
Great show right there. This on the chat line was Morton not 100% at the beginning of spring practice. This is still the lingering issue from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
which
something.
Is, yeah, and the lingering issue he played well with in the bowl game. So this isn't, it's something he dealt with. It's just an AC sprain. Those take time.
This on the chat line, best music day ever. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening.
Scanning it's up to Kyler now to get us home. You've got lots of stuff in the.
He's got material.
You do. You got a lot of stuff in the chat line. Uh-huh. So y'all are doing good.
Scanning for Eagles, probably fellow Americans' most underrated power ballad. Don't be surprised if Beard is at Arkansas.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thought we talked about that an hour ago. Well, I like that.
Yeah, you know, not everyone can listen. Every single hour, but yeah, I'm no doubt. I mean, I think between those three names that I've seen the most, and it's not to say for sure locked in. It's going to be, you know, Beard or Tang or Will Wade to Arkansas, but you can certainly see ties over there and the kind of makes sense department from both sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tang questions with how's his relationship there in Manhattan with the brass that you talked about. Beard to Ole Miss always felt like a stepping stone because it felt like Ole Miss was taking a big chance on him with what he was leaving behind with Texas. And it felt like, okay, who would kind of touch that situation, if you will? And Ole Miss said, yeah, we'll do it. Sure. And so it felt like, okay, Ole Miss, well, he's not staying there this whole time. And then Will Wade, I mean, he's been on the Power 5 level with LSU, and now a lot of the stuff he got in trouble with is legal. He's the guy who
Bill Self.
He's the guy who famously got caught on a wire saying that's a strong blank offer. Couldn't believe that guy didn't sign. And now has shown that he can turn around a lower tier program like McNeese State and make them a threat going into the tournament. So all of those just kind of make sense. This on the chat line, even if from T-Money, even if Beard goes to Arkansas. Arkansas. There you go. Sorry. Couldn't pronounce the word. Even if Beard goes to Arkansas, he'll just be there 2 years and then on to the next. It's just his way. Also would not be surprised by that. When you said Kentucky, it seems like that's been, if he could get back into, which I think he's already there. I mean, this has already passed with him being at Ole Miss and that entire situation that was a mess in Texas. And the legal issues, if you will, like from the college basketball standpoint, the hiring process, when Ole Miss hired him, that was the first one to break the ice. And now if you're Arkansas, you go, oh, well, that, you know, that's not going to be that big of a deal. The blemishes in the past, we don't really care about that, right? It doesn't really matter because it's not here now. If Kentucky ever opened up, like, I would not be shocked if you saw that kind of ladder because it didn't happen this year, but – it's not like relationships and the fan side with Calipari is going to be any smoother over there with Kentucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just be an interesting thing to watch. If in that scenario, by the way, it is Beard to Arkansas. All right, Kyler, would you please hit us up with your play of the day?
104, and it remains 77-73. Swooping. 46 points. 46 points, make it 47. And Bercy hits at the buzzer. But the victory is a 2-point margin for the Lady Raiders of Texas Tech.
I had to throw it back to 1993, and I definitely wish I was, you know, around, alive, to see this run by our Lady Raiders. That run by our men in 2019 was special, but Cheryl Swooping.
Yeah, Swooping.
She was a hooper, man. Going back and watching some of her highlights, I'm just like, dang, dude. Like, wow.
Yeah. Right, thanks, Kyler. Great play. We have our starters for the weekend, Gus.
Yep.
For Red Raider baseball. It'll be Free tomorrow, Robinson on Saturday, and then Hewer will move over to Sunday.
Which is the same 1-2-3.
Sure. Last weekend. Are you surprised by this?
No. At all? I am not. I bet these four starters, you know, rolling into Erdman on Tuesday will be intact.
Mm-hmm.
For a little bit. But no reason to think. I mean, got reasonable starts out of all those dudes this past weekend, and they need to string together some W's, man. I mean, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Where does that leave a Washburn?
It probably leaves him as either a longer inning, you know, if one of those guys is really short,
mm-hmm.
that he comes in and he's able to go, you know, a 60-70 pitch type situation, or it pushes him into Abilene Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Probably puts him in a flex mode, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This on the chat line, Team Money. My point on Beard is he jumps ship because it's easier to look good and turn around a program than it is to sustain said program year after year at the same level.
It's also along those lines, I would say it's also that his act wears thin. Mm-hmm. That dude is notoriously difficult on the people around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just...
If you don't have the situation that happened last year, I do wonder with Texas when that part comes in. Because, yeah, the hard to deal with just from a personality standpoint, that's well documented.
Have
and
nothing
well-known.
To do with the incident. I'm talking about.
I know.
I'm talking about just he's.
No, that's what I'm saying. I wonder.
Go ask our ticket staff how much they thought of Chris Beard. You know, go ask some of our marketing people.
If you go into another universe with Texas where that other off the court issue happens, how long is he there at Texas?
Oh, sure.
Right.
Nice. I love it.
Man, today has been a good day. You guys are killing it. Appreciate all the requests. Keep getting those in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. It is Tech Talk here in Double T97.3. Back with more next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Life's mysteries one at a time.
I started drinking at 6 a.m. We're here now. I don't know what time it is, but I'm rolling deep, and those cars are going real fast and real left, son. They're going fast and left.
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
This is a beautiful mashup between what you played and this new Beyonce song there in the background. It is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown, give us your songs that make you think of the Lone Star State or about Texas for song requests. Thursday, we're live from the First United Bank Studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973, or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. 5:45 coming up. It's the NIT championship game, so we'll cut out 15 minutes early here on Tech Talk. Gus?
Yes, sir?
Saw something very cool last night.
All right.
And I'll say this. You know, I've noted, not a hockey fan, but I can appreciate the sport as a whole, certainly. Now, obviously a big-time rivalry here. A lot of hate between the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils. They played last night. The Rangers won 4-3. They scored two in the first period, two in the third period. All three goals for the Devils came in the second period. You know, 51st win for the Rangers. That's great and all. But that wasn't the highlight of this game. The highlight of this game came 2 seconds into it. Basically, as soon as the puck dropped, so did the gloves. This is what it sounded like.
In event to open the hockey game. Both sides. Lazar went the other side as well. Jimmy Vesey and Lazar. Gaudreau has dropped him with Kevin Ball as well. Now it's 5-on-5. McDermott and Rempe exchanging blows. But everybody has gloves off at the Garden. DeAndre Miller and John Marino. Four officials, there's five fights. They're trying to break up what they can. Meanwhile, Rempe and McDermott still throwing them. DeAndre Miller got the better of John Marino down on the other end. As McDermott still feeding rights to Rempe. The other four are all done. The main event's still going.
This is unbelievable. Holy jump, and what a start to this one right here. But McDermott's got it. He had a couple of uppercuts.
This is a marathon between Rempe and McDermott.
Five fights, Gus.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Call that a line fight.
Man.
Where they just start lining up. It looked like it started with two dudes immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two dudes as soon as the puck drops, boom, off goes the glove, and then the others just start lining up like, okay, it's kind of like a junior high dance. All right, well, you and me, we're the last two in here. Let's go. And get all five of them. That's a beauty.
That also involved my new favorite hockey player.
Your boy Rempe.
Matt Rempe.
Yeah.
I don't think his stats are that good, but man.
No.
6'7", 240, yeah. And he's there to throw rights and lefts, dude.
That's a big hockey player, man. That's
a large human being skating around.
Big hockey player.
I couldn't decide what was funnier, the announcers reacting to everything or the referees just watching the main event go down and scooting all the sticks and all the gloves and moving everything out of the way so they can continue fighting.
Oh yeah, no, that's it. That's the etiquette there. The holy jumping is Darren Pang, and he was a little goalie that played just for a little bit in the 80s, and he's become one of the best hockey analysts out there. He's super excitable, and he'll do that holy jumping, what a play, and that he pops a couple of holy jumpings in there when they all start squaring off. The other beautiful part of that is that was New Jersey, that was the Devils and the Rangers. Yeah. So you got Jersey versus New York, and so that just that arena had to just go bonkers. I know it was a line fight. Was that opening face-off, or
that was the start of the the game.
So they
stemmed from something else that happened earlier this season.
Yep,
and perfect. I think it also involved Rempe, with what I could tell, where someone thought he did something dirty, or I don't know.
Yeah, like an elbow thrown or something
like
that.
But this was something that was carried over.
Yeah.
And obviously neither side forgot it. And if you watch the video, I mean, they're not, you know, trying to get around the glass to throw punches, but the coaches are immediately yelling from box to box at each other, too.
Perfect.
I mean, there is some invested hate in that situation, and I got to tell you, I was here for it. That was fantastic.
Absolutely. Usually if it comes out of a face-off like that, it's coming from some previous beef. Sometimes when two teams just don't like each other and they're two key guys getting a fight, you may just get the whole thing sized up and going from there, at least, especially back in the day when the, you know, you don't see it as often, but you know, back in the day, you get the five dudes fighting, and then here comes the goalie. The goalies nod at each other, and they come skating out, and it's just like, oh. I mean, like, Google goalie fights, and those get – because rarely is it just goalie on goalie.
Yeah, because oh, absolutely. Goalie fights, you have the whole walk down.
Yes, you do.
I mean, it's like a gunfight, like just –
ching. And then they're so heavily padded and everything, and then they're, you know, they're – yeah, that's just – but goalie fights are good because it's usually the end of the deal. It's usually – the beef never happens goalie on goalie. They may not like each other, mm-hmm. but they're not checking each other and, you know, stick butting each other and elbowing mm-hmm. each other in the right. corner and running them into the glass and doing all that stuff. And so
they're not bashing between right. each other the entire game right. where –
but if you guys,
they remember that yeah. player they just saw a couple plays absolutely. Ago because they almost drove him into the wall.
But if you guys are fighting and I'm the goalie and I jump into it or I see you, you know, whatever, you're getting the upper hand on Kyler and I go over there to help Kyler, then here comes the goalie after me. And so it's usually when the goalies get in it, it's like full on, mm-hmm. here we go.
This is a true brawl getting out of
there's a great
hand sort of thing.
This won't mean anything to anybody listening, so I won't spend much time on it, but there's a great early 90s St. Louis Blues Red Wings fight, you know, St. Louis and Detroit, a couple old Midwest cities, and it's just what I'm describing. It started with two main brawlers, it expands, and then the announcers kind of describing fight just like what we heard, and then the goalie for the Red Wings named Tim Chevalier, here comes Chevalier, he starts skating in the middle, and here comes Curtis Joseph, and they square off, and it's just bonkers. The announcer's just killer because he's talking about, here we go in downtown St. Louis. It's like fight night, man. I love watching that clip, and it's 30 years old.
I could hear you being, you know, Gustafson swapped out there. Here comes Gustafson. We're yeah. in Lubbock, and it's going down.
Oh, I love it, dude.
Gustafson flying in from the net. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.